We're going back to Colossians 1 again tonight. And this is study 91 in our study of wisdom and also the workman's interlinear. And we're in Colossians 1. And we left off last week. I just read 16, but I'm going to do it again because there's, we could make a several studies out of this verse 16, but, this is not a real in-depth study that we're doing, but it gets deep enough to where we realize what Paul is giving to us and how we are supposed to use it. So, and make the determination as to how we deal with other people also concerning this truth, because it is great truth, very great truth. And the Apostle Paul has had all this laid upon him by the Father, because he had been chosen to do this, I think, way back in Acts 9 when he was struck down on the Damascus Road. He was told then what he would have, what his principal job would be when God got around to giving him what it was that he was supposed to get, that he probably really didn't understand at the time of all this happening. But here we are. We look around and we see the fact that we have been chosen. And we look at the things that has happened in our lives a lot of times, and causes us to ponder upon them. But to realize that we've been chosen has a lot to do, I think, with where we are, because a lot of people I talked to said, "Well, I'm just kind of alone over here where I'm at." And I said, "No, you're never alone if you're with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're connected to Him, you're not alone. You may be there for a purpose or a reason." And a lot of times we don't get those things all at one time either. So, here we are. I'm going to read 16 again. And then read my notes again. And then we'll get into Jack's deal, because he's left us with a little, kind of a
diagram.
Diagram here, if you want to call it that, because of this verse. And so it is really loaded with information. And we may have thought about some of these things, and we may not have. So here we go. Verse 16 in King James says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And that's a full stop there at the end of 16, but it goes on and on with how this affects you and I and what we need to know about it. And then I'm going to read the notes. It says, I'm adding this because, by, or when you look at it in the Companion Bible, it's in Appendix 104-8. And it can be in, and that's the dative part of that. It says for by or in or remaining in. And him were all things created or brought into being by the will of the Godhead. Because if you go back and you read again where Adam was created to have dominion upon this earth that God had his son to establish long ago. He said, let us create. And so, but the fabricator is the son. And basically all these things were taken from the son. From Christ. And in that respect, it's a quite lengthy thing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as we go along. So we realize that these things that were created were brought into being by the will of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that are in heaven. Or, as Jack puts it, the upon heavens. And that comes from an old Bible that Jack always used. And it was much, much older than what we normally have in our possession, but now that's not to say that it's not truth. It certainly is. So we're talking about things that are in heaven and things that are on earth. And earth there is the word G. And, of course, heaven is the upon heavens. And you could also use the word for upon the earth. But the Greek form of earth is the little word G, G-E. And it means land as distinct from water or earth, also as distinct from heaven. And it also can be looked upon as regions or territories or countries. And when it was created and when it was made, I think basically it was Earth in a circle, probably around the equator, because Noah had no problem getting all the animals that was to ride the ark there in one place. And so the ark was probably the first sailing vessel, if you want to call it a sailing vessel, that man had made or created. But it was done for God's chest. And that's what it really was things that God wanted preserved and on the earth when the waters abated from the earth. And by the way, it had never rained. So the regions, the territories, and the countries, it deals with the earth. And it might have just been one big country at that time. Because it says that the earth shook in Peleg's day, and it formed the different continents, I think. And the word visible comes up here, 3707 in the Strong's. And in the word is in the Koine Greek is horetos, and it's capable of, and it means to be capable of being seen by mankind. So there are a lot of invisible things also that we're going to talk about too, but some of the visible things that God allowed man to see, or woman, was in the Garden of Eden, where Satan met Eve. And he was known as the minister of light, because of his covering was covered with the jewels that were on the earth. And at some point, God used those as a covering for Satan. And I think the reason for that was that he had fire within him. And this is fire from God, because God had created him. And you can agree with it or not, but when the fire from within him built up to a point, or we might call it when his temperature rose, he became a shining, kind of a shining jewel, if you will.
Well, if you'll remember, Ezekiel chapter 1 has a amazing description of what cherubims look like.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was the anointed cherub that covereth, and he was above them.
Yeah.
So his likeness was probably a little different, but even the cherubs, the cherubim that Ezekiel describes in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, are, they produce their own light, and they have these wheels on top of wheels, and spinning lights, and all this stuff going on with them, to where they would be completely mesmerizing if you saw them.
If you didn't really understand them. Yeah. So that's the things that has been seen. And of course, the angelic order, quite a lot of people in the Old Testament saw the, because I think they were the, kind of the standard bearers for Israel when Israel was chosen through Abraham. And so that's some of the visible things. Now, but we don't have that complete picture. And that's the reason it said they were some visible, horetos, capable of being seen by mankind, or invisible. And that's in the Strong's, and it's 517. And it's five times mentioned by the Apostle Paul in his writings. And I'll try to pronounce this, the word there, the invisible, as aortatos. Things that man cannot look upon. And I think this was what Mike was putting forth basically in his study the other Saturday on the Zoom study that we had, the virtual study. And because man, in this state that we're in, we can't look upon God. And so he shadowed himself from those that he had association with fairly close, and then even they would shine, Moses would, when he come off the mountain, he would shine for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And God hid himself cleft of the rocks to keep Moses from being destroyed. So when you talk about the Shekinah glory, I never really thought about the bush that Moses saw that was burning but wouldn't consume. And this is another aspect of God's fire that we don't know that much about. But when we unleashed the atom on the two cities in Japan in the World War II, that was light that you, if you saw it, you were probably done, mm-hmm. because you didn't see it for a very long stretch of time. But
you better be a long way from it if you saw
it. It happened. See, that again is the unknown things of what we're made of is these atoms. And it can do lots of things. And we realize that it was put there, for man at one time to get to know. But look what we done with it. We made a death tool out of it when we started looking. And that's things that man cannot look upon, whether they be, in the state now, or have been in the state where we live. They have been, some things have been on this earth, because when God chose to come and dwell with man, he came in a cloud and a pillar of smoke generally. And that tells you a lot about when the temple was made by Solomon, and God would come and the building would fill with smoke. And other places too where God would be around. So, you know, this fire thing is something that, we use in different ways, but, God's way of using it is very much different from, the things that we know about, I think. And, the things that are mentioned here are thrones, and that's 2362 in the Strong's, and it's, four in the New Testament, and thrones is a place or seat of power of a potentate or, we'll talk about that a little more. And then he talks about dominions, 2963. And it's only there one time in the New Testament. And that's Koriot Ag. And that means mastery of government as rulers, with power to seize, to retain, to hold, or to keep. And we call all of these things basically lordships. And the lordships shows up. And it's Strong's 746 in the Greek, all in the New Testament. And it is pronounced in the Greek arche. And it's a commencement or chief or leader of the law in various applications as to time, place, and rank. And it begins with magistrates. So we have taken in this country, basically, for the most parts, in most states, we have taken this form of government to rule ourselves. And we have courts of rank and of rule that goes along with the magistrates. But generally speaking, if you are going to involve yourself in a suit of some kind or in a court of some kind, you have to start with a writ from a magistrate. And that's what I did part-time here in the county I live in for 7 years and 3 months. But when I closed my shop down, I needed to look for a permanent job, so I gave up the magistrate's job too. And it's probably a good thing because I'm not really suited to hear all the stuff that goes on with a magistrate, because lots of times you get involved in people's lives that you feel like you shouldn't ought to be there, you know. And then, even in other countries, and of course with Israel, Israel had a group of, what was it, 70, with a chief priest, or one that had rank over the other priest. And then you had a head of a synagogue, or a synagogue service, and even down as far as a shepherd over a flock of sheep, or a horse ruler over a barn of those who had chariots and used horses to pull their chariots. And you would think, well, a horse ruler wouldn't be somebody of rule, but he was well thought of in places that way back years ago at times. And then it run anywhere from a shepherd or horse ruler to a governor. And that deals with the word power. And power there is 1411. And in the Strong's, and it is in the Greek, the word dunamis. And dunamis is specific power. And it's best defined as related to the miraculous powers of the Acts period, or an abundance of might,
I've heard it put as self-regenerating power.
Yeah, and it's regenerative, and it's straight or wonderful work that these people were given. It was a gift that was given to those that could heal, could raise the dead, you know, and things like that. And this work, this power here that we're talking about is Strong's 1849. And this was written by Paul, and he used the word exousia in the sense of ability or control or force or capacity or competency and freedom, mastery, delegated influence, liberty, with power of right or strength. And so it says also, all things were created. And I'll just stop there for just a minute. And this is aorist tense. And it's punctular time. In the Strong's, that's 2836. And the word there is katidzu. And it's used with this word power through the idea of the proprietorship of the manufacturer, which was the Lord Jesus, if you think about it, to fabricate or form originally, and it is used as a word which says to make. And this aorist tense means to make without a time limit. When God says, let us make, he didn't set a specific time on it because time to God is not important otherwise, unless he's talking about mankind.
Time limits.
You see, so when they were creating, time really wasn't a big deal because man wasn't here. Now, maybe other things were. I don't know, but here we are. Okay. To fabricate or to form originally, to make without a limit. And this time that we're talking about here, or this work that's we're talking about here, is a perfect work. And if it's a perfect work, and the word perfect there is, can be used in many aspects. But perfect here, talking about creation. Nothing is to be added when Christ made it from himself. It was perfect. It became unperfect when Satan got involved in it. So to begin with was the Garden of Eden all the way around the world. Could have been. But see, God in his wisdom knew that man would be subjected to this being that was going to show mankind the difference between how perfect he was and how unperfect Satan was. How can you and I make a decision here without having something to go by? So Satan was in the garden for a reason. And the test with Adam and Eve started in the garden. They were tested. And they failed.
Yep.
To put it in a reasonable way. And so this is what we're reading here that I've come up with. Now, you can agree with it or not agree with it, but I went back to the different things and different books to look to see, and we got three or four places we need to look at here, but we're going to go ahead and do Jack's part of it, and then we'll keep this to last. So there's one, two, three, four, five places there that we need to look at. Well, let's see what Jack had to say about it. And he made a, as Ronnie says, a little outline here, but let's see what the Koine Greek says. And now I've read it to you twice in the King James Version. It says, because in him, and here's brought down from the Koine Greek, were created the all things in the heavens and upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, for the thrones, for the lordships, for the principalities, for their authorities, the all things through him and unto him have been created. So that's the way it, originally came down. Okay. And to bring it down to what we've kindly read here, it says, because in him we were created the all things in the heavens and upon the earth, the invisible, the visible and the invisible, for the thrones, lordships, principalities, authorities, the all things through him and unto him have been created. Okay, and then I don't know if how many of you have got the Workman's Interlinear, but it's on page 138 if you do have one. And there's a couple of lines here that's in the center of the page, and I'll kind of give you a demonstration here of what I'm looking at, if I can. The creation, it says, from the viewpoint of the Creator. And remember that. Creation from the viewpoint of the Creator, from Christ. He's dealing with the all things. Okay, upon your left hand in the page is the heavens. And just below that it says the visible. Well, we know that he created in the stars. He wrote in the stars his plan and purpose for the ages. So they were visible. And there's no place in the world that you cannot go and see this story if you knew how to understand the stars. And it, they were put there in three books, they call it. And either one of them books will tell you, give you the study of the stars, but it's according to where you are on the earth when you do that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, didn't mean to get into that because that's another whole 2 or 3 years study on its own. But now, on the other side of the page was upon the earth. We talked about the heavens, visible. Now we go to the right-hand side of the page where it says, upon the earth, invisible. And this is the viewpoint of the Creator.
I might can show that, Dad. Let's see if my webcam.
And their thrones, lordships, principalities, and authorities in the center of the page. Down under that.
I mean, you can see, how that is. So, yeah. I don't know if anybody can see my webcam or not.
Okay.
I don't know if it's clear enough.
And then you have a line on the page. And it goes back again to the all things. And under that is through him were the all things created, and then unto him were all things created. That's Christ. So you see why our blood is not sufficient for anything, really, but just to keep us alive and keep us going. But the blood of Christ, when he came as God's man on the earth when he came as mine and your kinsman redeemer. He had the blood that God was looking for to place upon the Holy of Holies in the heavenly places to take care of our sins. Mm-hmm. Now the world knows that, basically. And they've known that for a long time. But what normally you don't hear, that it's not our faith, it's the faith of Christ that did all this work. And he came and he died upon the cross and he gave his blood for us that we would not have to lay our hands on an animal anymore and shed that animal's blood for our sins because he's taking care of that. Yeah. And so he died and was in the ground 3 days, 3 nights, and he come out. And he was with them 40 days. That was 43 days. And he told them there in Acts 2 to tarry here until the Comforter comes. Now, the Comforter has always been. It wasn't something that was brought up at this point in time. The Comforter has always been, but it was either upon or with.
And it was the same Holy Spirit that moved on the face of the waters in Genesis 1 and did the creating.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so the Holy Spirit was involved in the reconstruction of the earth back the way we know it now. Okay. Having been created, the Holy Spirit having been created, evidently, when Christ came along, and I'll just put it that way because I have no idea. But we know that when we get talking about God, we know God and we know His Son, and the Son with the Spirit was the Godhead in three forms. And they all agree. And they all point toward the same work, regardless of what it is. But God told them to tarry there until Pentecost, which was 7 days left till Pentecost, and the Comforter would come. And when the Comforter came, there was people there from all over the world in Jerusalem, could speak all these languages because God allowed Israel to be carried off to different places, and they were many, many, many of them servants to other people in the world, in the known world at that time. And they were, when Paul was writing Colossians, they were a lot of Israelites there as servants in Rome, because Rome now had control of Israel. And so this was why Paul had to get to Rome, but it cost him a shipwreck and all this stuff to get to Rome. The things he had to go through was the things that Christ didn't get to finish before he was put on the cross. And before he went back into heaven that we read about in early in Acts. So all things through him and all things unto him of creation, they have been created for a purpose. Because Jack says that is the Son created the all things. The parameters of his creation are stated rather than the detailed breakdown. Also, the emphasis is on the heavenlies. There was much emphasis upon the heavenlies involved in the Gnostic heresies. God, therefore, used the pen of Paul to refute their premise. The remainder is that emphasis cannot be made on knowledge from these heavenly sources when it is understood that Christ, the Son of God, was their creator. A subtle message is included in the tenses of the Greek words created. That's the aorist, the punctular time. And have been created perfect means total completion. This should inform the discriminating reader that the creation is finished and that nothing will be added. And then we're looking at the verses of scripture that we're going to need to read. And so, we'll get involved in that. Maybe we can get through verse 16. But I tell you what.
It wouldn't surprise me if we had to spend an entire evening on 16.
This is the situation. Let's go back to Ephesians. Turn back a few pages. And we'll start in Ephesians 1. Ephesians should not be hard for you to find. And we're going to look at 1:21 to start off with. 1:21 says, and this is going back to the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I'll just go ahead and do 22 too. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the assembly. That's 1:22-23. Let's look at 3:10. All you have to do is turn a page or two. You get 3:10. 3:10 says this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the assembly the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, let's turn another page or two and we get over to 6:12. You see the need for going back. We went over it before, but going back and looking at it now, it's kind of like putting pieces of a puzzle in place. Like, well, yeah, we found this one. We found this one. Now we found this one. And so this one is 6:12. And it says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that was the reason that it was said in Ephesians that we needed to put on the whole armor of God.
Yep.
That we might shield ourselves from these things. Because these things are there because God allowed them to be there, that we can see the wickedness. We can see the things that we have to put up with, and those things that Paul and those things that the people in that day had to put up with also. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Back to Galatians, back to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, we're going to look at, no, 1 Corinthians 15, I'm sorry. It's on page 1723, if you have a companion Bible. 1524 says this. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Okay, who's going to get the kingdom? God's in charge of the kingdom. Let's read it again. Then cometh the end, when he talks about putting all things under his feet. We've already read that. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And that gives you an absolute surety that that's who he's talking about. Which he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Now this is the job of Christ there. Now the Father's going to bring the kingdom into place, and he's promised them a city. Evidently whose maker and builder was God, that Abraham looked for and never did find. But he's making this in the heaven, and he's going to bring it down and place it on the new earth. Very, very great metropolis, I believe is what they call it. Okay, then let's go back to Romans and look at Romans 8 for just a minute. And I've gotten ahead of myself and making my notes, and I've got a lot of marks in my Bible. So Romans 8:38, it's almost at the end of Romans 8, verse 38, it's on 1680 there, and we'll read it. And it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here's another little chip there that we need to look at. In that verse of scripture in 39, because it is from the love of God or the Father, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the constrainer and the base holder of all things that he created. He is in charge of that creation. And that's the reason, I think, that God used the Son to create. Because, and he didn't give him a time schedule to do it on. Because when it was made, it was perfect. It had been understood by the three beings that knows everything.
It makes sense that if Christ created it, that if it all was created through Christ,
yeah,
that he would use him. to reconcile it all back to him when the time comes.
Yeah. And so there,
to me, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, there you are. That gives you the picture. That gives you the picture that the Godhead works in unison, but yet they each had things to do on their own.
Amen.
Now, so that gives you the picture of that. And so we went through this one verse of scripture quite hurriedly, because, you know, we could have went back and found a lot of stuff that went with this, because it all pertains to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bedrock of Paul's understanding of what he has been burdened down with, because, you see, he was finishing up the things that Christ didn't finish. And this is what God laid upon a man that was not of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And so he realizes and understands what a gigantic thing he has been given, that it might be carried on all these years. And of course, we're talking here about 60 AD. We're sitting here in 2021 AD.
Yep.
So see, it's been a long time. So God has given us privilege that the body of Christ be full. And so Christ is not going to show himself. He hasn't shown himself since he went back into heaven. He's invisible.
Hidden God.
There right now. But still, I think he is collecting what he needs from each individual that belongs into the body of Christ.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in a dead body. You know, even the spirits that came here with Satan, we've got an example of that, about the demoniac that was in the tombs, and he had, what, 20?
He had many demons.
Many demons in him, and they had taken him over. And so when Christ showed up there, and he took away these demons out of this man. These demons said, "Well, have you come to
torment us before the time?"
Yeah, and they knew they had a time, and God said, "Well, what would you have me to do?" Christ did. "What would you have me to do?" "Well, there's a bunch of swine out there. Just let us go into the swine." "Okay. That's what you want. Dig in." And the swine couldn't stand. They didn't have the brain power. And the swine can't swim. A hog can't swim.
Mm-hmm.
Take my word for it. I know he can't swim. And so they went back into the deep anyway. Whenever they run into the lake,
right in the water,
they drowned. The hogs drowned. They couldn't swim. And so guess what? The demons are trapped again in water. And so I think that makes a great little tidbit to us realizing and understanding of how things work. And how it goes. So, we got time to do another verse?
9:31.
I guess that's the end of that. Okay, we got verse 16. Hopefully.
I was sitting there thinking, man, we're gonna be in this verse for the whole study, and sure enough, we were.
Yeah,
and we still need to, there's still things.
Oh yeah, there's lots of things there that, because like I said, this is the bedrock of now we've got the understanding of why these things were created, the way they were created, and how they were set up, that not only the Father was going to have a deal in this, and we see that in Revelations, but also in Thessalonians we see where Christ comes back to the earth. And so this is, you know, when you talk about things in heaven or the upon heavens and the things on the earth, invisible and invisible, lots of things. Lots of things we can't see. But we know a little bit about them. We have this urge to dig, and this is, I think this is where you can see the Holy Spirit working in mankind, because everybody that comes up to an altar or goes to a priest or a preacher or an evangelist somewhere or something and says, I believe. But you see, God knows where they've been chosen or not.
Amen.
And they might show up in service for a month, 3 months, or a year, and then you look around, well, where did they go? Well, they didn't have the same thing, I don't think, that we that have been chosen understands with this understanding. Because I was 33 years old before I ever even heard about it. And I lived with some, I considered really good Christian people. But my grandpa didn't know this. My dad grew up in his house. He didn't know it. My dad, right before he died, he came out and he said, see, said, I know y'all have been doing Bible studies, but said, you guys know things that I don't know. And I said, Dad, you can't get it in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. I said, it takes weeks, months, and years to get it straight, because it's so much wisdom here that you just can't. Boom.
It's all in.
I don't have the power to boom and give it to you.
Yeah, just jam it in somebody.
So, but it's, and that was the way it was. And it wasn't just a few weeks after that till he couldn't be shunted. And so therefore he couldn't get his blood cleaned out. So we just had to let him starve to death. Because that was the most sane way to let him go. You know, they could give him morphine and stuff to keep his pain down, but he couldn't recognize what it was you were trying to say, so I didn't get the opportunity. And that's one thing that I really I don't know what I could have done, but see, he didn't know, but he knew there was something out there.
No.
And I think a lot of people are that way. I think they know that there's something out there that they don't understand, or quite a lot of it that they don't understand, because it has never been presented to them the way the Apostle Paul has laid it out for us to do it in the vocation that he's given us to do. That's our vocation, folks. This is what we need to take with us each and every day of our life to try to get others to see the body of Christ. We can't look at a person and tell whether they've been chosen or not, but you don't have to be around them for a long time to realize after that whether they are or not.
Amen.
Because they have a zeal for the Word of God that others don't have. And I'm not making a judgment here. I've already quit magistrating, so I'm just I'm kind
of observation.
I'm kind of like the old boy that come after Larry left Wolf State. The next guy that came, he said, "I'm a fruit inspector. If you're going to bear fruit, that gives me a job."
Yep.
And so, a lot of things that Brother Bob said, but that was one thing that reminded me of him every time that I think of his name and fruit inspector. And I think his mother called him to preach. I feel quite certain of that.
Yeah.
At least that's what he said.
I would agree.
So, but that's, you know, we could talk about it all night, but it's, we'll go on and continue if the Lord willing, and maybe we'll learn a little more about what we're supposed to know. So, my thimble was overflowed tonight again, so I'll leave that thimble full with you, and we'll do another one next time. Lord willing. God bless you.